The South African Jewish Board of Deputies is the organization that engages with the South African government on behalf of the Jewish community. Join Cherise Zephyr for the next hour to find out what the SAJBD has been up to. 101.9 High FM.
The G20 Interfaith Conference took place this week in Cape Town. One of the participants, Rabbi Yaakov Nagin, a key figure in the Jewish-Muslim Interfaith Dialogue through his work at the Ort Torah Interfaith Center, participated in a session entitled Jewish-Muslim Religious Fraternity Project. Rabbi Nagin is also in the country as a guest of Limud, where he'll be talking, among other topics, Jewish spirituality between East and West and the Abraham Accords. I'm delighted to have him as my guest now to tell me more. Rabbi Nagin, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Grateful to be here with you.
Rabbi, firstly, tell me a little bit about Jewish Muslim interfaith at a time of war.
It's more important than ever. The Hamas and the Iranian axis of evil, they are weaponizing Islam and trying, constantly working to get more and more circles supporting their religious war against the Jewish people in Israel. There is a counterweight, and that must be strengthened. And one source of optimism, the Abraham Accords, that named after our shared religious roots, Abraham, they've weathered the war beyond hope. When in Europe, you can't get any times that you couldn't get any flights to Israel. So when I got stuck in London, trying to get back for my son's wedding, I flew to the United Arab Emirates, where there are 14 flights a week to Israel. So whether it's open skies, trade, security, and many issues, the Islamic world is not monolithic, and that easy assumption everybody's against us, that is self-defeating. Therefore, it is more important than ever to say that Jews and Muslims are not inherently at conflict with each other, and we speak out against what I would not call fundamentalists, which would concede that they are more authentic, but those who, for political ego, have perverted their traditions for violence.
You talk about, and I agree, the time to talk is not during good times, but during bad times, because that's when it's needed the most. And certainly the more the stress in a situation, the greater the need to speak. However, how comfortable are your Muslim counterparts in terms of speaking out?
So first of all, I am deeply moved because when I say what I believe on things, I get no, I'm in safe spaces. But many of our Muslim brothers and sisters, partners, have been very courageous because they've been in areas where we're speaking what they felt to be their authentic truth has led to backlashes and the like. So they are the great heroes. And for me, it's easy. For many of them, not so. But yet again, part of it is a stereotype position based on media that empowers certain voices on the expense of others that don't realize that there are many important, prominent, also Islamic voices that feel that they are threatened and they are horrified by some things that are a perversion of their sacred sources.
Tell me how you got to be at the G20.
Okay, so for many years, our organization focuses on the relationship of the Jewish people to humanity in broad terms. It's not just Islam. It's Islam, it's Christianity, it's Eastern religions. And one thing leads to the other, because I feel the fact that we are both from Israel and also part of an Orthodox institution, sometimes gives a feeling of antiquity and authenticity that's sought for at many of these global forums. I was, for example, in the G20 in Indonesia when Indonesia hosted it. And it was very moving, the fact that I feel this, it's not that there's global hatred of the Jewish people, there's global obsession. Sometimes obsession could lead to obsessive negativity, but it could go the other way also. at sessions. Indonesia, there were, I think there were three Jews among 400 people, but every session would begin, welcome, wassalamualaikum, something in Indonesian, and then shalom. People would invariably poke me and say, that's for you. So this must be understood. I think this is a critical message. If we feel everyone's against us, this is a self-defeating strategy. But to feel the world, because the Jewish people, the Torah, is the cornerstone for most of humanity's religious beliefs and values, this leads to an obsession. It could go positive, it could go negative. And the way to respond to the negativity is not by abandoning our connection with humanity, but trying to find where can we build partnerships, fraternity. And part of that is knowing how also to give respect to other people and their traditions.
Yeah, I love the way that you talk about that obsession and that it can be good and bad. And I think we have seen it bad. And I agree, it's also extremely unhealthy to get into a victim kind of mode when there are so many out there reaching out. Unfortunately, as you said right at the beginning, the narrative that is being pushed is malicious, if not dangerous. What was your, tell me about this specific session. I think it was called Jewish Muslim Religious Fraternity Project. How did your session at the G20 this past week go?
Okay, so first of all, it wasn't merely a session. There's things at the center podium where everyone is there, the entire conference, and then there are breakout rooms. So we did one of each. But on the podium, we, together with Imam Talib Sharif, who is the a black Muslim, head of America's oldest mosque, and a leader of a chain of 400 black Muslim communities. When we got there, giving share, each of us speaking from the heart, rooted in our sources of our vision, a vision of a shared story of partnership, overcoming weaponization of religion, and from the heart, hugging each other. Many said for them that was the critical moment of the event. It wasn't just more talk about love and peace, but feeling words from the heart and seeing it, seeing at a time of conflict, Jews and Muslims with deep fraternity, but and presenting a vision, a vision that is for that good for all. There was a private session I gave about sacred spaces, which I spoke about Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, the vision of Jerusalem is a place of connection. Of heaven and earth, connection of the Jewish people, the site of our heart, but also place a house of prayer for all people of humanity. And there, gently, I spoke about some of the current realities. I spoke about the fact that Jews are not allowed to pray on the Temple Mount because of a Jew praying on the Temple Mount is considered by terrorists as a provocation that will lead to murder. I spoke about my dear friend Rabbi Leo D, whose wife Lucy and two beautiful daughters were murdered by terrorists, and as a response to a so-called provocation on the Temple Mount. So, but I also tried to show that not only in Jewish sources, but even in Muslim sources, it can and should be a site of connection. And about in Islam, there is a deep respect in the sources of the Torah. Of the Jewish people and Judaism, and which is part of our overall project, showing that the anti-Semitic narratives are certain later developments, often things taken out of context. So we are saying it's not about rejecting sources, but returning and not manipulating them.
Yeah, that's very powerful. And I can imagine that an image of you and an imam connecting can be such a positive image. Just the image itself is what is needed, and how reassuring it is actually for the entire interfaith community, because it's a good space to have these kinds of discussions. Rabbi, you are also going to be at Limud, and at Limud you will be talking about Jewish spirituality between East and West and the Abraham Accords. Do you want to give us a little bit of a teaser?
Certainly, but first, let me mention how extraordinarily I moved and impressed by your small community. At the event here, there's some of the deputies, and really some of the best speaking was done. There was a woman, Wendy, who really gave real deep spiritual content. Gabby, Ilana, there's so many local wonderful people here, and I know it's a small community overall, but well represented and present at the conference here. So in Limud, the Abraham Accords touches on some things I've already mentioned. So maybe I'll mention that for years, part of even my interfaith worked on Judaism and Eastern religions. And in many ways, seeing that Israel and Judaism is between East and West geographically, but perhaps also spiritually. If the Western world is a lot about doing, we got to change the world or whatnot. And Eastern spirituality is based on being present in the here and the now, and showing how both of these truths are integrated in Judaism. As a teaser, 6 days we work, one day, Shabbat, a day of being. So it's about doing and being. And in Hebrew, a teddy bear is called a dubi.
I'm excited to say that you're going to be at Limud, so people can go and listen to that session. Personally, I'm absolutely fascinated by the topic between East and West and spirituality, because at some level they seem so different, and at some level, wow, to find those commonalities, I think is quite special. Rabbi, thank you so much for joining me,
It's a
and
pleasure to be with you.
I look forward to seeing you at Limoges.
Wow, looking forward. Take care.
Thank you very much. That was Rabbi Yaakov Nagin, and he will be at Limoges. He was talking to me about his participation at the G20 Interfaith.